this might be a tricky one, but how do you navigate situations where the injured party is unemployed at the time of the accident? And what kind of factors do you consider to determine loss earning capability when they're unemployed?
Yes, we've tackled that situation with a great deal of success, Dean. Quite often what we'll do is we'll go back through and show what this person's career was, what their wages were, what their education level is. Sometimes people are taking a break from the workforce. We've represented stay-at-home moms and even stay-at-home dads that are taking a break in their career to do one of the most valuable things they'll ever do in their lives, and that's raising their kids.
Welcome to the 805 Law Group Podcast, your source for an entertaining blend of law and legal community updates. Each week, you'll get crucial insights into family law, personal injury, criminal defense, and estate planning, along with the latest insider information about what's happening in the local legal community and high-profile cases right here on the Central Coast. Now let's get started with your host, the founder of 805 Law Group, attorney Bill Ausman.
Welcome to the 805 Law Group Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Dean Mignola.
And I'm attorney Bill Ausman.
Today, we're going to talk about what it takes to get compensation for lost wages or time away from work on your personal injury claim. And I know that's probably on a lot of people's minds who have that kind of case. So, Bill, how do you assess and calculate, first of all, lost wages in a personal injury claim?
Lost wages can vary, Dean. Certainly the time you take away from work, you should keep track of that. If you have a W-2 job, it makes it easier. Your pay stub can track that time that you've taken away, whether that's sick time or use vacation days, or if you have to separate from your company, we can calculate that time. It becomes a little more nebulous when someone is self-employed. They get a 1099, or they simply have business or businesses that they run themselves. In those situations, it's important to keep records to show what you've earned in the past, show what opportunities you've lost if you had to miss a project because of that. Save the documentation so we can show the insurance company exactly what you've lost.
Okay. In cases where the injury results in long-term or permanent disability, how do you approach estimating future lost earnings and what factors are used in that calculation?
Right. So oftentimes what we'll do is we'll look at the age of the person. We'll look at whether that injury is going to resolve. If it's going to resolve, when is that going to resolve? Well, we can either calculate that out, or quite often during the process, we'll check with medical providers to see how that healing process is coming together. And if a person ends up losing their job, they end up not look like they're going to work, then quite often what we'll do is hire an expert to evaluate that. Because as your career progresses, you typically would make more money. You would get increases in salary based on merit, increases in salary just based on cost of living. So being able to calculate this is something very important. We've worked with several economists as well as vocational assessment professionals to determine what the value of someone's services is should they continue to be able to participate in the workforce.
Okay. So what role does expert testimony or vocational rehabilitation, for example, those kind of assessments play in determining the impact of the injury on the client's ability to work, earn wages, et cetera?
Those are important, especially the longer someone is out of the workforce, the more we can determine whether, hey, is there a diminution in value of a person's services? If they're out of the workforce for a year or 2 years or even 6 months, does that mean they're missing out on some opportunities to get advanced, to get promotions, to be able to be a senior member? So that sometimes comes into play. Additionally, perhaps a person can't do what they've done. They have a very physical job that's very demanding or something that requires travel. If they're unable to do those things, the value of their service is diminished, and it's throughout their career. So being able to properly assess that and properly show that value is really important in having an attorney that really goes to bat for you and gets you full value in your case.
Okay. I want to kind of circle back on something you touched on earlier, and that is addressing the unique challenges faced by self-employed individuals. I mean, so many people these days are self-employed. Maybe their income is variable. What do you do to make sure that they are properly compensated?
Yes, having a hometown legal team, this is something that we really excel in, Dean. We really get to know the person. We get to know their job. We get to know what they do and how they make their income. And, and by getting to know these facts and demonstrate them to the adjuster or even the jury, we can maximize recovery for someone. And so understanding our clients, getting to know them well, and presenting that in a clear and logical fashion is really important.
Okay. Are you enjoying the 805 Law Group podcast so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by hitting that subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. For more information about 805 Law Group, visit our website, 805lawgroup.com. Now, let's get back to the show. I'm sure some people are curious if, you know, there are cases where, like, non-monetary aspects of a client's job, their job satisfaction, career trajectory, is that ever considered in the mix, or is that a non-issue?
Dean, the court has to consider non-economic damages. So yes, all those things can be presented to court. All those things can be presented to the adjuster. We often find that juries are more sympathetic to these factors than adjusters are. Adjusters quite often are very focused. What are the actual out-of-pocket expenses? Whereas fellow people in the community would be more interested in these non-economic damages that really affect the individual who's been injured.
Right. So that it does impact their life, even if it's not a dollars and cents thing that's quite evident at first glance.
Absolutely. We're able to cull out those non-economic factors. We quite often look at values and things that the jury values, things the community thinks important. And those things, like you say, quality of life, the ability to go to your son's game, your ability to travel and see your grandchildren on the other side of the state or the other side of the country. That's really important. That makes a difference in someone's life, and it adds value to people's lives, and it should add value to your recovery.
All right. This might be a tricky one, but how do you navigate situations where the injured party is unemployed at the time of the accident? And what kind of factors do you consider to determine loss earning capability when they're unemployed?
Yes, we've tackled that situation with a great deal of success, Dean. Quite often what we'll do is we'll go back through and show what this person's career was, what their wages were, what their education level is. Sometimes people are taking a break from the workforce. We've represented stay-at-home moms and even stay-at-home dads that are taking a break in their career to do one of the most valuable things they'll ever do in their lives, and that's raising their kids. So we show, whether you're unemployed or raising kids, whatever that is, what the value of someone's services are. And that value can be, hey, now you have to hire a nanny and have them come in and take care of your kids. Now you need to hire a housekeeper or a gardener. So these values are something that we're very adept at showing and getting great value for our clients.
Okay. Well, I know you have a lot of experience with this. What strategies do you like to employ to maximize the recovery of lost wages for clients, especially when dealing with insurance companies, for example?
One of the things we do is we really get into the facts and the figures. We get the pay information. We look at the historical data. We look at the trending data. We do the research to show where wages are going, where that employment class is going. Additionally, we will talk with vocational experts as well as economics. We've worked extensively with the chair of the economics department here at a local university that does phenomenal work for us and able to help us call extra value and show that those wages have been affected, perhaps permanently, to increase the value of a client's case and get them the maximum recovery.
Okay. And how do you handle cases where the injured party's ability to work may be impacted in the future, you know, because of ongoing medical treatments or rehabilitation? How do you handle that?
Right. So there's two things we look at is past medical expenses and then future medical expenses. We look at past wage loss, and then we look at future wage loss and even diminution of earning capacity. And so all these things really need to be taken in consideration in putting evaluation. And our legal team really pulls this apart and puts it back together again so that we thoroughly understand it and can present that in a real way that's attractive to both the adjusters and the courts.
Okay. And is this work out to be a negotiation process most of the time, or is this something that more often goes to court?
No, quite often things are negotiated. We have a great team of negotiators here at the 805 Law Group. We bounce great ideas off of one another so that we can work as a team, not just one sole individual, but this team gets together and negotiates it, gets the information, the evidence that really can prove our case to push it forward. And quite often we will negotiate really great outcomes for folks.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Bill. That's going to wrap up this episode of the 805 Law Group podcast. If you liked what you heard and saw, please click the like button. And we'd love it if you subscribe, click the follow, and also look for that notification bell so you can be alerted for future podcast episodes. Any final words, Bill?
Yes. If you got more questions, we'd love to hear them. Please give us a call, 805-466-4800. We're here to answer your calls and answer all your questions.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Bill. And thank you for watching this podcast episode. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the 805 Law Group podcast. Don't forget to visit our website, 805lawgroup.com/podcast, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or Amazon Music so you never miss an episode. If you found value in the show, we'd love it if you could rate it on iTunes or even tell your friends. Make sure to join attorney Bill Ausman next week for another informative and entertaining episode. Remember, at 805 Law Group, we're turning law into empowerment, one episode at a time.